Chapter 26. Ramon walked out of the hospital 8 days later, unsteady on atrophied legs. He wore one of his white shirts and a pair of canvas pants that Elena had brought by one afternoon when he was asleep. The shirt was too big, wide across the shoulders and through the chest, a measure of how badly he had been reduced by his time in the wild and on the river. His new scars ached sometimes if he turned wrong. The Enya ship still hovered high above the planet, but here, among the street vendors and the gypsy boats, the roomy-eyed buskers with almost tuned guitars, and the truant children smoking cigarettes on the corners, the alien ships seemed less of a threat. He'd intended at first to make his way to Manuel Griego's shop. Ramon was going to need a new van. He didn't have the money to buy one outright, and there wasn't a bank on the colony or off that would front him a loan big enough to cover the expense. That left making deals, and Manuel was the one to start with. But his shop was far from the center of the city, at the edge of neighboring Nuevo Janeiro, where most of the Portuguese lived, and Ramon found himself growing tired more quickly than he'd expected. He had no money, and only a temporary emergency identification chit from the hospital. More trivia that he'd have to address in the days ahead. At the moment, it meant that when he sat on the bench at the edge of the park, he could smell the sausages, onions, and peppers cooking on the cart's grill, but couldn't buy any. In a sense, this was the first time he'd seen his adopted hometown. This particular pair of eyes had never looked down these narrow brown streets or at the faded yellow grass of the park. These particular ears hadn't heard the demanding blatting of the urban flatfurs or the tapanos scolding from the tree branches on the edge of the canal like amphibious squirrels. Ramon tried to concentrate on how he felt about that, examining his own soul for unease or some sense of dislocation greater than usual. But what he really felt was tired, impatient, and pissed off that he was too weak to walk to where he wanted to, and too broke to take a fucking pedicab or bus. The obvious place to go was Elena's. He didn't have any place else to sleep, and she'd brought him clothes, so the fight they'd been having when he left was probably forgotten, and she'd have food, and maybe sex if he was up for it. He was half tempted to go to the El Rey first, thank Mikel Ibrahim for keeping that knife away from the police. But then he remembered again that he had no money, and trying to hustle a free beer seemed like a piss-poor way to express gratitude. Ramon took a long, deep breath, nostrils filling with the ozone stench of city air, and heaved himself back up from his bench. Elena's place it was, and with that, Elena. It wasn't a long walk, but it felt that way. When he reached the butcher's shop that squatted below her apartment, Ramon felt like he'd tracked a full day through the underbrush, Manek at his side. He wondered, as he made his way up the dingy, dank-smelling stairs, what Manek would think of this wide, flat human hive that lay open to the sky. He thought the alien would think it naive, like Kiki, grazing in a meadow where a chupacabra was sunning itself. The Enya ships stuttered in and out of existence high above, vanishing only for a moment before returning. At the top of the stairs, Ramon punched in the code, hoping that Elena hadn't changed it in a fit of pique when he'd slipped out on her, or, if she had, that she'd changed it back. And when the last number shifted the status light to green, the bolt clicking audibly and the hinges hissing as the door swung open, Ramon knew he'd been forgiven. Elena wasn't home, but the cabinets were stocked with food. Ramon opened a can of black bean soup, one of the self-heating kind, and ate it with a beer. It tasted of the heating element, but not so much that he didn't enjoy the meal. The couch smelled of old smoke and cheap incense. The afternoon light showed all the dirt on the windows, skitterlings scurried across the ceiling, the charnel stink of the butcher's shop tainted the air. Ramon lay back on the couch, his limbs heavy. He let his eyes close for a moment and opened them again in panic. Something had him, strangling him, pulling him off the ground. Ramon had cocked back a fist, ready to kill the alien, or his twin, or the Sahel, or the Chupacabra, or the cop, before his muzzy brain recognized the shrill squealing. Not an alarm. Not a battle shriek. Elena, delighted. "Fuck," he breathed, but softly enough that even with her head pressed against his, she didn't seem to hear him. The threat of violence passed. Elena pulled back from him, her eyes wide, her mouth in a little knot, like she was trying to make her lips look like a baby doll's. She wasn't bad-looking. "You didn't tell me you were getting out," she said, half-accusing, half-pleased and surprised. "They didn't tell me for sure until today," Ramon lied. "Besides, what were you going to do? Miss work?" "I would have, or I could have got someone to come get you, fly you home."
"I can walk," Ramon said with a shrug. "It's not far."
She put her hand around his chin, jiggling his head like he was a baby. Her eyes were merry. It was an expression he knew, and his poor, abused penis stirred slightly.
"Big macho guy like you doesn't need any help, eh? I know you, Ramon Espejo. I know you better than you do. You're not so tough."
"I cut off my own finger stump." He didn't say, in part because it hadn't exactly been him, and in part because there wasn't any point in telling her anything. It was Elena, after all. Batshit crazy, even if she was in her good place right now. He couldn't trust her, not any more than she could trust him. Whatever meaning she attributed to his silence, it wasn't what he was thinking. She smiled, shifting her body from side to side.
"I missed you," she said,
looking up at him through her eyelashes. Ramon felt a twinge of pain in his groin and stepped back.
"Jesus Christ," he said. "They only took that thing out of my cock a few days ago, woman. I'm not healed up down there yet."
"Yeah?" she said. "That hurts? What about this?"
She did something very pleasant, and it did hurt, only not enough to tell her to stop. The next few days were better than Ramon had expected them to be. Elena was away at work most of the day, leaving him to sleep and catch the news. At night, they screwed and listened to music and watched the half-assed telenovelas they made down in Nuevo Janeiro. He made himself walk as long as he could, never straying too far from the apartment in case the weakness came on quickly. His strength came back faster than he expected. His weight was still down. He looked like a fucking twig. But he was coming back. He was getting better. He told Elena the story, the one he'd made up, over and over. It wasn't long before he half believed it himself. He remembered the roar of the stone as it came down, the shuddering of the van. He remembered racing out into the cool northern night and watching his ride washed into the river. If it hadn't happened, so what? The past was what you made it. The only thing that marred the time was the small voice in his head reminding him of what had really happened and what he had heard and thought. In the early hours of the morning, when Elena was still fast asleep, Ramon found himself waking and unable to fall back into slumber. His mind returned to the realization that his twin could have done better with Elena, that even that sad sack of shit he dropped into the river had been a better man than he made himself out to be. He had meant to break things off with her when he came back, but here he was, drinking her beer, smoking her cigarettes, spreading her legs. "When things got bad again," he told himself. No point ending things when they were still good. And, like a ghost, there was Liana. He remembered the way his twin had told the story. All bravado and bluster, none of the real pain, the loss. He was coming to understand better now why it came out the way it had. It hadn't only been to avoid the appearance of weakness before another man. He needed to tell it to himself that way, too. And that was harder for Ramon to do now that he had seen all that he'd seen. He kept meaning to go see Griego, but he never quite got around to it. Almost a week after Ramon had left the hospital, he woke before dawn, haunted by dreams he couldn't remember. He slipped out of bed, pulled on a robe, and as quietly as he could, took Elena's good whiskey from its hiding place behind the kitchen cabinet. It took him 3 drinks and almost an hour to get the courage to open a link to the city directory and search for her. But there she was, Liana Delgado. Still a cook, but at a new place now. Her address was down by the river. He'd probably walked past it 100 times, stumbling back from the bars. He wondered if she'd ever seen him, and if she had, what she'd thought. Elena mumbled something and shifted in her sleep. Ramon killed the link, but the idea that had taken root out there in the wilderness was growing again in the city. He had wanted to be someone new, had been ready to be someone new, start again. So why not now? All the things he had done and suffered could pass away from him just as easily now with his old name and face and self as they might have had his twin lived. It only meant doing the things that needed to be done. Leave Elena. Find a new place for himself, a new van to work with, some other way of being himself. Himself like he'd always been, only better. And then, when he was cleaned up and solid, when he had something in the bank and didn't have to beg off a woman just to keep from sleeping in the Pinche Park, Liana was in the directory. He could call her, or, if he had the balls, go to her house, like a schoolboy singing at his lover's window. He was Ramon Espejo, after all. He was a tough son of a bitch. The worst that would happen was that Liana would turn him away, and if it broke his heart, so what? He was strong enough to make a new one, a better one. In the next room, Elena yawned and stretched. Ramon took one last clandestine pull at the whiskey bottle and silently returned it to its place, rinsing the glass out before slipping into the bathroom to brush the scent from his breath. If Elena found out he'd been breaking into the good stuff without her, there'd be hell to pay. "Hey, baby," he said as she shambled into the kitchen. Her hair was in disarray and her jaw set a little forward. "You couldn't make some fucking coffee," she replied. "I feel like shit." "You should stay home," he said. "Take a day off." "It's Sunday, asshole." "Sit," Ramon said, gesturing to the cheap plastic and chitin chair at her kitchen table. "I'll make you some food, eh?" She managed a smile at that, her black mood thinning a little. Ramon surveyed the contents of her pantry carefully, consulting the freshness readouts on the sides of the cans and boxes and having a little trouble with them. He might have had a little too much of the whiskey. He just needed to seem sober long enough for a little of the alcohol to burn off. He got a can of black beans, a couple of tortillas, some eggs from the back of the refrigerator, and a hunk of cheese. A little green chili, and it would be huevos rancheros. It was a good meal because with a little practice it could be made in a single pan. Ramon had enough practice cooking it in his van that he could probably do it even a little drunk. "So you're going to get a job in town now?" Elena asked. "No," Ramon said. The beans dropped from their can to one side of the heating skillet, hissing and popping as the juice started to boil. He reached for the eggs. "I figure I'll go talk to Griego about renting a van. I figure if I promise him a part of the cut, it'll only take me 3 or 4 good runs to pay the thing off."
3 or 4 good runs," Elena said, as if he'd said shit gold and piss rose water. "When was the last time you had 3 or 4 good runs in a row? Did you ever?"
"I got some ideas," Ramon said, realizing as he did so that it was true. There was the struggling precursor of a plan at the back of his head. Maybe it had been there since the first time he'd had the dream of the Enya and understood what Manek and its people were fleeing. He smiled to himself. He knew what he was going to do.
"You should get a real job," Elena said. "Something steady."
"I don't need that. I'm a good prospector."
Elena raised her hand like a schoolgirl asking to speak.
Last time you went out, you came back three-quarters dead without any of your shit.
It was bad luck. It won't happen again.
Oh, you control luck now, eh?
It's the European, Ramon said, flipping the eggs. He was after my ass. It was like a curse. It's gonna be fine next time.
Sounds like you found God out there, Elena said,
and then paused. When she spoke again, her voice was less surly.
Did you find God, mi hijo?
No, Ramon said. He crumbled a handful of cheese over the beans, then slid the tortillas onto plates. Coffee. He needed to heat up some water. He knew he'd forgotten something. I figured some other stuff out, though.
Like what? Elena asked.
Ramon was silent as he served up the eggs, spooned the beans and cheese over the top, got the coffee brewing. He could feel her gaze on him, neither accusing nor sympathetic. He wondered what was going on behind her eyes, what the world meant to her. She was more predictable, more familiar, but in some ways she'd always been as alien to him as Manek. He didn't trust her because he wasn't stupid, and yet there was something, some other impulse that prompted him to speak. "Like why I killed the European in the first place," he said. He explained to her as best he could, his memory still a thing of shadows and dream. Something he remembered knowing more than something he had participated in firsthand. A reconstruction. They'd been drunk, yes. Things got out of hand, yes. But it had happened for a reason. Ramon walked through it all again. He could explain what the cop had said. The woman, the laughter. He could guess from what his twin had and hadn't said. From what he knew about himself, about the sense of the whole bar turning against the European, and Ramon himself on the top of the swell. He could tell with certainty what it had been like when, in the alleyway, they had all pulled back, all the people who'd been shouting him on, the sense of loss and betrayal. He'd been what they wanted him to be, and then they dropped him for it. The European, the girl, the laughter. It hadn't really been about them at all. Ramon hadn't killed the man because the fucker needed to die, or because the woman was one of their own and the man an outsider, or to protect her from getting mauled. Ramon had done it so that the other people in the bar would think well of him. He'd killed out of a need to be part of something. Ramon shook his head, smiling. Elena hadn't touched her food. The coffee was warm, the beans cold as the table. Her eyes were locked on his, her expression unreadable. Ramon shrugged, waiting for her to speak.
"You are fighting over a fucking woman?" Elena breathed.
"No," Ramon said. "It wasn't like that. There was this lady he was with, but..."
"And you didn't like how he was treating her. So you picked a fight. You drunk, selfish son of a bitch.
What the fuck was wrong with the woman you had waiting for you here? You had to go risk getting your ass killed for some puta because of what?"
Ramon felt the rage swelling up in his breast. He'd told her. He'd bared his soul to Elena, and all she could do was turn it into some kind of bullshit, jealous fight.
He'd been really talking to her, talking like real lovers are supposed to. And this was what he got for it. Another fucking bunch of accusations. Another load of shit. His face flushed. His fists clenched. But then it faded, the bottom dropping out of the rage. Elena threw her plate at him, the food splattering against the wall, immediately gathering a swarm of skitterlings. Ramon watched it like it was all happening someplace else, to someone else. He'd known, hadn't he? He'd known she wouldn't be able to hear him, that even if he explained himself the best way he could, she wouldn't understand. "If lions could speak," he remembered Ibrahim saying.
"It's not happening," Ramon said, his voice gentle and matter-of-fact. His calm seemed to startle Elena out of her rage. He saw her trying to get it back and rose to his feet.
"You're not a bad person, Elena. You're a little crazy,
but I don't see how anyone lives in this fucking city all the time without getting a little crazy. But this...
He gestured at the food dripping down the wall, Elena's small hands curled tightly into fists. The apartment. He gestured at their life together.
"This isn't going to happen anymore," he said.
Elena tried. She baited him. She screamed. She shouted obscenities at him and taunted him about his sexual inadequacies, all the things she had done before, the familiar, habitual sickness. When it was clear that he was going to leave, she wept, and then grew quiet as if she were thinking through a puzzle. She barely raised her head as he closed the door behind him. An hour later, Ramon was walking down the riverside, listening to the music coming off the boats. He had a satchel packed with 2 changes of clothes, a toothbrush, a few documents that he'd left at her apartment, everything he owned. The sun shone on the water, and the air was cool with the first bite of autumn. It was like being born again. He had nothing, and yet he couldn't stop smiling. And somewhere nearby, in one of the small apartments with their weedy courtyards and leaking roofs, Liana was making her life. She wouldn't be that hard to find, and he was a free man. First, though, there was Manuel Griego and the problem of the van. There was a future to create, and now he had a plan to do it.
"Ramon Espejo."
Ramon stopped, looking back over his shoulder. The man looked familiar, but it took the 2 uniformed brutes coming from the van behind him to give the face and voice context. The man from the constabulary. The cop. Ramon considered running. It was only a few yards to the river. He could dive in before they caught him. But then they could also get boats out and haul him up like the world's ugliest fish. Ramon raised his chin in greeting.
"You're that cop," Ramon said. His mind was racing. Elena. It had to be Elena.
She'd called the cops and passed on all he told her about the European. Johnny Joe Cardenas had just gotten his prayers answered.
"Ramon Espejo, I have a warrant from the governor for your detainment for questioning. You can come with us of your own free will, or I can put you in restraints any way you want."
There was a glitter in the cop's eye, a lilt in his voice. He was having a very good day.
"I didn't do anything," Ramon said.
"You aren't accused, Señor Espejo. We just need to talk to you about something."
The station house was one of the oldest in Diego Town, grown when the first colonists had arrived, and not updated since. Where the chitin superstructure showed, it had become gray with time. The plaster and paint had been freshened for the Enya, but the building still seemed old and sad and brooding, ominous. The interrogation room wasn't entirely unfamiliar territory for Ramon. Dirty white tiles lined the walls, marred by unidentifiable stains and threatening dents and cracks. A long table set just a little too high. A metal chair bolted to the floor and set just a little too low, so you felt like a kid. The light was too bright and blued to make anyone look dead. The air was stale and close and still as the grave. Ramon felt like he'd been breathing the same 4 lungfuls since he'd entered. There was no clock, no window, nothing to tell him how far the hours had stretched. His only company had been the uniformed guard who told him he couldn't smoke, and the old flat black surveillance camera set into the wall at the corner of the ceiling. The design was intended to make a man feel small, insignificant, and doomed. It worked pretty well, and Ramon found his resentment of it fueling his anger. Anger at Elena and the constabulary, the European and the alien hive and his dead twin. It wasn't rational. It wasn't even coherent. But it was what he had to carry him through this, and so he cultivated it. He didn't have money for a lawyer. There would be no one to defend him besides himself. And what defense could he give? That he was so drunk he didn't remember doing it? Elena would be more than happy to flirt with the judge, say what she knew, and sink that story forever. That it was in his own defense. The defense of the straight-haired woman? He couldn't even remember what had happened, not in any real detail. He'd be better off claiming he hadn't been at the El Rey when it happened, no matter what all the witnesses said or the fingerprints on the gravity knife showed. No. As far as he could tell, he was well and rightly fucked. By the time the door opened and the sound of voices at last cut the thick air, Ramon had just about decided that he might as well assault whatever poor pendejo they sent in to talk to him. At least he could do some damage going down, and he might have done it if a human had come into the room. The Enya was like a boulder, its green-black skin the texture of lichen, oyster-silver eyes set in pale, fleshy, wet gouges. A tiny pucker of a mouth, lipless and round, marked where its beak lay concealed. The stink of acid and soil filled the room as the thing lumbered into the corner below the surveillance camera and hunkered down, its eyes on Ramon. The constable who'd visited him in the hospital and collared him on the street came in behind it. The man was less pleased with himself now, his mouth set in a professional scowl, his shirt freshly starched and ironed and looking uncomfortable. He carried a black cloth case in one hand and a cigarette in the other. A second man followed him. Older and better dressed. The poor fucker's boss. Ramon looked up into the black mechanical eye of the camera and wondered who else was watching him. "Ramon Espejo," the constable said. "Better be," Ramon said, then gestured at the alien with his chin. "The fuck is this?" "We're going to ask you some questions," the constable said. "You are under warrant from the governor to answer completely and honestly. If you fail to do so, you will be charged and punished. Do you understand what I've just said?" "I've been arrested before, Ese. I know how this works." "Good," the constable said. "Then we can get straight to business." He lifted the cloth case to the table, unzipped it, and pulled something out. With a flourish that the cabrón must have practiced for an hour, he unrolled something. Dirty rags, colorless where they weren't blood-stained, cut almost to ribbons in places. They might have once been leather or a thick cloth. It was his robe, the one he'd worn tracking through the northern wilderness, the one he'd wrapped around his arm in the final knife fight with his twin, the one Manex aliens had given him. He looked up into the Enya's glistening eyes and saw nothing he could understand. The alien hissed and whistled to itself. "Señor Espejo," the constable said, "would you please tell us exactly where you got this?"